Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you?
I'm good, Rhea. How are you?
Good. This week, we wanted to talk about crew employment, pros and cons of a third-party employer.
A lot of people outsource their crew employment, and there's a number of reasons for obviously administration, employment, particularly in MLC, you can be tracking certificates and things. There's quite a lot of administration that needs to go on that is quite skilled, but I think also often that is outsourced to somewhere which is neutral for Social Security, etc. And that way the crew don't generally need to pay Social Security. There are exceptions to that. In France particularly, you have to have some Social Security in place. And really you should for the whole EU. And what normally happens in these situations is the owner will contract with them and the employer will then arrange for the administration, send out the contracts and the seafarers employment agreements, do all the pre-employment checks, and each month we'll send a pay report to the owner and say, please can you fund me for that month's payroll. And I think this is where it's interesting, because in the case of a yacht where there's been sanctions were applied, then that stops the flow of funds from the owner to the employer, but it doesn't necessarily stop the obligation of the employer to its crew. We've seen cases come up with tribunals, etc., where it's been obvious that the owner's been making all the decisions and communicating with the crew. And in those sort of cases, it's likely anyone looking in a court of law will actually set aside the crew employment arrangements and say, you're clearly making all the decisions yourself. And we'll come back to you'll be the person and where the yacht is. That's where any complaint will be held. So administratively it works. It does minimize Social Security risks as much as possible. If you have a sanction involved, you've still got an obligation to pay those crew and get that fund that goes, which is something I think those companies need to really consider, because it's quite a big risk with the size of these payrolls.
And I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for this. What is the point of a yacht management company?
I think it's distinguished when a yacht manager and the crew employment companies, because they are often different companies. You can often have a yacht manager who will outsource that to a crew employer, because those crew employment companies are in normally the Crown dependencies or somewhere which is fairly tax neutral. There are, saying that, yacht managers who obviously do crew employment and placement and etc. as well, or have their own white labeled solution. Effectively, they have someone running this for them in a jurisdiction such as the Isle of Man or Guernsey or Jersey. One of the selling points of it is it separates the ownership of the yacht from the crew employment, which should protect the yacht slightly from crew employment disputes, etc., because you're actually putting an employer in place. But if you don't, it comes back to if that employment or that employer isn't acting very much independently and demonstrating it is the employer, it's very easy for anyone to look through that, set it aside and say, actually, let's go after you. Let's look to the owner for the funds. And often when there is a dispute, particularly in Europe, that is exactly what the jurisdiction in most of the EU jurisdiction member states, they will look to, if something happens and there's a crew complaint in France or in Spain, then they will go to the local Nautilus and the action in effect will be taken against the vessel there. And because it's in that jurisdiction, it will be taken. So theoretically, it should give some protection. But if employers act in this way, then it does raise the question of actually what does it achieve? Because if you're just walking away when there's trouble and you're not able to fund it, that does raise questions of how effective it is.
Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is, as crew, when you are walking into a situation and you've taken a look at the job, you know, the pay is good, it's everything that you want, what are the warning signs that crew should look for when a contract is placed in front of them? In regards to whether the yacht owner pays them or if they are under contract to a crew placement company.
I think making sure they're fairly established is key, but also probably asking these sort of questions of what happens to my annual leave allowance, because that's another big liability that is accruing, and leave on yachts tends to be higher than, say, office or onshore roles, the amount of that's due to crew for leave, particularly during the season, can grow to quite a big number. And often those employment companies won't be funded for that up front. So yeah, there's some questions I think you can ask around that, what happens in this sort of dispute. It is ultimately difficult for crew, because if they often want the job, then you're not going to get the owner to change his employment arrangements. But it's worth working out, knowing how many crew they're employing, what does happen in these sort of situations, what protection is there. Yeah.
Is it worth hiring a lawyer to take a look at that contract prior to signing and going on board?
I would certainly look at, it wouldn't hurt to get a lawyer to look at them. There was a time where it was fairly common to see that the law of the contract would apply to where the employer was. If you have a yacht which is permanently in an EU member state, it's fairly likely that sort of clause won't hold up. Certainly that's what past advice I've had is around that. If you're employed and spending 365 days pretty much in, or even over 180 days in one EU jurisdiction, then no, the contract won't stand up against that if it says you're employed somewhere under the flag. If you are going to go to the stage of having a independent employment company, you need to make sure they're doing more than just processing the payroll every month. They really should be taking the role dealing with the crew directly on queries, disputes, chasing up on certificates and handling that. I think you definitely weaken that position if either the management company or the owner himself is getting involved and directly dealing with the crew on those decisions.
Nothing is simple. In conclusion then, crew employment, which is it better or worse to have a third party employer, in your opinion?
Look, I think it's probably better if you have a professional employment company who knows what they're dealing with, a lot of large number of crew, they scaled up and understand what certificates they need to do and they're actually running it professionally, that is better.
So I guess the lesson here is that whether you be crew or whether you be a yacht owner, if you are looking, if you're crew and you are signing a contract with a third party employer, or you're a yacht owner looking to find a third party employer, the best idea is to do your homework, because there's going to be good and bad apples everywhere. And you really need to make sure that who you're signing with is somebody that's going to do right by you.
Yeah, I think if you can get a check by a lawyer, it's worthwhile, or at least asking your employment company who drafted it, getting an understanding of how many crew they look after, just will give you some comfort around how professional that organization is.
Well, all I can say is going in, get yourself a lawyer. And once you're in, get yourself an accountant, because it's the only way to keep things right.
Absolutely.
You've been watching another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Rhea. See you next week.
My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again.